This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Help! That's a common cry from frustrated parents around the world. Child raising has always been a challenge, but today that task seems almost absolutely monumental. Our guest says that there is help for all moms and dads, and it has nothing to do with experience and everything to do with faith. I'll ask him to explain. LaShawn Wells Jr. is the daddy of three daughters, need I say more. He's also a coach, lawyer, and the author of a new book, The Seven Principles of Faith-Based Parenting. I've asked him to join us today to talk about the book and about raising children in this mad world. LaShawn, welcome to HeartWise.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get into what we parents should be doing, what's the number one thing we aren't doing that we should be doing?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. The number one thing I think for parents, and it's a huge challenge in today's society, is spending family time or spending quality time. You know, life gets busy. Everybody's running around. We got all these gadgets. So even when we're together, we're not spending time in the way that we used to. And I think that's probably the number one challenge that parents are facing. I hear from parents every day about that issue. So I think that's number one.
Now, LaShawn, was this a hard-learned lesson from you? How did you get to the point where you finally said, you know, I need to make some changes in the way I'm raising my children, and I want to share my changes with the world? How did that come about?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was interesting. My wife and I, you know, we would sit at night just talking about our day and spending time talking about our kids. And I never really intended to write a book. I really feel like God really led me in that direction. And even as I was writing the book and recalling stories and interviewing my girls, I just really felt like God was leading me. And, you know, things that we had done that were successful, I wanted to share with people. I wanted to make sure that this information wasn't just information we had. And then things that didn't go well, where we, you know, I like to say we bumped our head a few times. I like to make sure that parents are aware of that, because I don't see why parents got to bump their heads if I can share with them ways not to. So that's kind of how the book came about. And it's just been a great experience because the girls have really got into the book, and you know, I interviewed them, not letting them know that they were going to be writing, helping me write this book. And as they started sharing stories, I was recalling things that worked and things that didn't work. So it's been a great process for me.
So we could say really that this book has been kid tested by your kids, right?
It absolutely has been kid tested. And it's funny because, you know, I have my own version of stories. They have their own version. And, you know, after the book was completed, my middle daughter, Tommy, she goes, "Dad, did you use our real names?" And I'm like, "Absolutely. I shared the story that I remembered." And so she read the book, and, you know, she thinks it's great that we have something to share with people out there. Absolutely.
Well, that is wonderful. We're talking with LaShawn Wells Jr. He is the author of the book, The Seven Principles of Faith-Based Parenting. And I think his credibility just took a giant leap because his three daughters were a part of the process of writing this book and sharing their experiences. Okay, let's go over these seven principles here. They go into much more detail, of course, in the book, but I want our listeners to have something that they can take home today that they can say, well, I'll start applying some of these principles today. The first one here is says, principle number one, seek the truth and base your life on it. Now, LaShawn, you know that everyone comes at things differently and everyone may have a different truth, or is there a universal truth we should be looking for?
Well, I think for Christians, there's definitely a universal truth. And, you know, I love the fact that I can rely on God's word, because that is truth for me and for my girls. And that made parenting, I wouldn't say easier, but it made it more about what God was telling us to do versus, "Dad, you don't know, you're old. You don't, you know, this is a different world." I never had to deal with that because I always came from God's perspective. But in this context, I also share with parents how important it is for them to be seen as truthful to their kids. I mean, kids have no initial role model other than the parent. And so when I think when kids fall back on things they were told as kids, once they become of age, they're going to examine what we told them. Was it true? Was it not true? And why wasn't it? And then I think that raises other issues. So, you know, I encourage parents to be truthful. Sometimes we've got to measure how we're going to be truthful because, you know, of the age of our kids. But we got to tell them the truth, and especially in this world that we're living in. It's crazy out there. So we got to tell them the truth.
I like that. You're saying that not only must we be honest with them, but also we can base our honesty on a much larger truth, and that's the truth found in the Bible. And of course, the Bible is going to be the same when they're 5 and when they're 50. When they look back, they're going to see a continuity here. And I really like that, LaShawn. That's a wonderful truth that you're sharing with us. Thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Now, principle number 2, understand who you are by knowing your family history and traditions. Now, I don't know about you, but some family histories are not really pleasant places for us to go. Is there value even if family histories are not the best they can be?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and as I mentioned in the book, you know, I'm overcoming generational gaps or traditions that weren't probably pleasant, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to know them, one, to make sure we don't repeat them, but also to build up on the places that have opportunities to get better. And I think it's important, even in those painful places of history and traditions, that we know it. I mean, our world that we live in, the United States of America, doesn't have, you know, a perfect history, but it's a great tradition, and it's a history that I think empowers and kind of connects all of us. So I think the same can be true for families. And sometimes it's not pleasant, but I think it's great to deal with.
Now, let's talk about traditions just for a moment here. What is something, give us an example here, what is something in the Wells family that is a tradition that you hope will hold on to your children throughout their lives?
We've taught our girls every night before we go to bed, we lay down together and we pray. Mm-hmm. And we pray together as a family. The kids are all out of the house. So now my wife and I, we pray every morning before we leave the house, or even if we're out of town, we'll get on the phone and we'll make sure we pray. So that's a tradition that continues to grow. And another tradition, we use social media for this tradition, and I think is great. Because we're all spread out now, the girls are gone, we have a day that we're each responsible for sending out a quote or scripture or inspirational word to each other. And my day is Monday, and we go down the road, and now my son-in-law even is involved. He said, "Hey, Dad, can I have a day?" So, you know, that's a tradition that I think is helpful because sometimes those words come right on time for us. It's like perfect timing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, two traditions that I think that hopefully will continue to stand the test of time.
Your next principle here follows right in the footsteps of this principle number 2. Number 3, it says, be family-oriented. Now, you're saying be family-oriented must mean that families today are not family-oriented, or you wouldn't have to say that. Am I right?
Yeah, a little bit. But I'm also expounding on the fact that family in this sense can be more than just your biological family. Mm. And especially in today's world, we're so busy. There's the need for a bigger village, if you will, of people helping our kids become responsible people. And I think we got away from that. I know in the old days when I would walk down the street, you know, Mr. Smith would parent me from a distance if I was throwing rocks or doing what I wasn't supposed to do.
Yes.
We've kind of gotten away from that because of the way society is. But I think it's important that being family-oriented means that it's a lot of people helping raise kids. And, you know, as a softball coach of girls 12 and under teams, I feel like I'm responsible in a lot of ways as a family member, extended family member, helping raise those kids that I'm coaching.
So it sounds like you're sort of basically treating all children as if they were your children, all people as if they were members of your family. Is that right?
Absolutely. And this world, I think we've gotten kind of spread out and got, you know, less connected with each other due to, you know, social media and the devices. And I tell the story all the time. I give fast pitch softball lessons, and I remember learning by watching. And now the kids that are watching, waiting for their turn to do the lesson, they're not watching the kid in front of them anymore. They're on their, you know, smartphone or gadget. And I think we've lost some of that. And so we got to be connected and all responsible. I want the parent whose kid is working with me to have a conversation with the parent who's waiting and that kid and being more like a family, if you will.
Sounds like you're saying turn off these devices for at least part of the day, right?
I think we need to turn them off and dedicate time to each other. I call it family time, and I think we've got to plan it just like we plan a doctor's or dentist appointment. And I talk about that in Chapter 2 of the book as well.
All right, very good. We're talking with LaShawn Wells, Jr. He is the author of The 7 Principles of Faith-Based Parenting. We've taken care of 3 principles. We have 4 more to go, and we'll discuss those on our return. So everybody stay right where you are.
Hello? Testing. Testing. Yes, it's working. Dear Diary, this is Kim. My teacher in health class told us to keep a record of what we're doing to stay healthy each day this week. I'm using this voice recorder so I don't have to write everything down, which is a good thing because I can't read my own writing. Dad says I should be a doctor. I'm 12 years old and I'm supposed to tell you what I did today to stay healthy. Well, first of all, I ate breakfast. A lot of kids my age don't eat breakfast. They drink something sweet or wolf down a donut on the way to the bus. That's totally not healthy. In just a few hours, they're so hungry they can't think straight, or they go to sleep at their desks because they don't have any energy. All that sugar makes them feel good for about 30 minutes. Then they get depressed because their bodies don't have any fuel left. That's what our health teacher calls food. Fuel. I ate a big bowl of whole grain cereal with some peaches, honey, and soy milk on top. Then I grabbed a handful of mixed nuts and finished with a sliced apple. It was delicious. That breakfast kept me going strong until lunch. I didn't get sleepy or hungry, which is a good thing because we had a history test this morning and I needed at least a B. Mr. Jensen said I got a B+. Whew! So what did I learn about health today? Eat a good breakfast. It can keep you awake and maybe help your grades.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is LaShawn Wells, Jr. He is the author of the book, The 7 Principles of Faith-Based Parenting. And LaShawn, where can people get a copy of this book?
Yeah, the book's available on Amazon Books. Just go on Amazon Books. You can also find it on Barnes & Noble's online. And you can also find it at iUniverse Bookstore. So iUniverse.com. And look for the book. Hopefully you find it helpful. I'm excited about it.
Absolutely, and so am I. This is a wonderful book, The 7 Principles of Faith-Based Parenting. We've gone through 3 of them now. Let's look at number 4, and I have a question on this one. Principle number 4, you're saying be selective about your friends. Now, when you say your, is that the parents' friends or the kids' friends?
That's actually both, and I think it's important for parents to model for their kids the type of people they should choose to have as friends. And I don't think the word friend should be used lightly. I think parents have an opportunity to really help their children really understand the meaning of that word and how to go about selecting those people they call friends. Because, you know, especially as young folks, we're judged sometimes by the company we keep.
Now, this may be a can of worms, and I really don't want to open it too wide here. Are you saying that we model friends by being a friend to our kids? You know, that can raise some problems. How much of a friend do you want to be to your child? How do you handle that?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked, because I really want to be clear about that point. No, absolutely not are we, in my opinion, ever friends to our kids. We're parents. Mm-hmm. We're parents who should be friendly and respect their time and all that stuff, but we should be parents. And one of the biggest things I run into, and parents will ask me all the time, I can't get, you know, Sally to do this or do that. And I'm like, well, just tell them. You're the parent.
Yeah.
This is something that's good for them, and you know it's good, but they won't try it. You can't be their friend. Friends tell people, hey, try this, and the friend may say no, but a parent should be able to say, I really want you to try this. This is something I think that's going to be helpful. So, no, we can't be friends with our kids as we're raising them.
Okay, all right. Not be friends, but be friendly. I like that. That's a good combination. Okay, principle number 5 here. Choose what you need to by removing bad habits. Now, again, are we talking to the kids here or are we talking to the parents?
Yeah, so we're actually talking to both because I feel it's so important for parents to really understand how they were parented in order to be effective parents. Mm-hmm. So they have to make sense of how they were parented. So here we're talking about changing or removing your bad habits. And that may be in terms of what you eat, how you eat. It may be in terms of how you communicate. But it's really challenging parents to make this move so that they can help their kids understand why and how they can do the same by removing bad habits.
When your child has a bad habit, LaShawn, how do you approach them by saying, you know, hey, that's a bad habit, without them thinking you're saying, hey, you're a bad person?
Absolutely. I think it's so important. You know, it's hard, too. I mean, it's not easy, so I'll give that to the parent. But we really have to work hard to separate the issue from the kid. I mean, we're not judging the kids, just like God doesn't necessarily like some of the things that people do, but he still loves us.
Yes,
and
yes.
I tried to really relate that same analogy to my girls when there were things that they may have been doing that I didn't like. And, you know, they weren't really clear about how I was saying it and felt like maybe we were judging them. Really was trying to make sure that we're clear. I'm not judging you. I'm judging the behavior or this thing that you're doing. And just like God loves us all, he doesn't like all the things we do.
You're using God then as the model parent for you being a parent. Is that what I hear you saying?
Absolutely. Every step of the way of parenting. And, you know, I tell people that it made it easier for me because God was the model, and how God looks at his children and how he loves us is the same way that I approach fatherhood with my girls.
Very good. Very good. We're talking with LaShawn Wells, Jr. He is the author of the book, The 7 Principles of Faith-Based Parenting. And if you are a parent, I'm sure you're recognizing some of the things he's saying here and some of the challenges that have come into your house. But there is that wonderful truth, that overarching truth that we find in the Bible, LaShawn says, that we can use as our guide and Christ himself as our parent. It's not surprising to me that Christ called his father, father. I mean, that's what he called him. He wanted to say, here is the pattern that we need to follow. And I like that you're bringing that out in your book. Okay, principle number 6. Oh dear, this is a tough one. Do not fear failure while working towards success. When you fail, LaShawn, it is so common for us human beings to say, okay, we've failed not only at this task, but we've also failed at this job. How do we overcome that?
Yeah, that's a real challenging one. And in the context of this book, I'm talking a lot about how my girls were trying different things out. And, you know, my oldest daughter, for example, was a really great athlete, but she wasn't a really good softball player, right? And she had a dream and a goal of playing Division I sports at UCLA. Uh-huh. So using a lot of these principles, I was very honest with her, told her that, you know, her softball skills probably weren't going to get her a scholarship, but her track skills may. And I told her track is, you know, one of those sports where there's some failure, and we can't fear that. And so as you lose race after race, you're getting faster and faster. And it's once you get fast enough, you're going to be able to get this scholarship. So in this context, really embracing the thing that sometimes hold us back, if we use it as energy, it could propel us to the dream or goal that we really want to achieve. And failure is needed. It's part of life. It's going to be something that everybody experiences. But relying on God and God's word, we know that he's going to deliver us. Scripture is very clear about that. We have to trust in him with all our heart, and he's going to make sure that things happen for us.
Well, now I have to ask, LaShawn, what happened with that daughter? Where is she now?
Oh, she ended up getting her scholarship to UCLA. She was often injured, which, you know, was some setbacks for her. But she got her degree. She's into a master's of nursing program right now. She's a doula. She's got a great husband. I have a great 5-year-old granddaughter who's the light of my life. So things turned out really good for her.
All right. Here's the girl that feared failure, and she's just sailing on here with a lot of success going on. That's a wonderful thing. Okay, the seven principles of faith-based parenting. Principle number seven, always be yourself, but always see yourself as others see you. And this is a tough one as well, because we want people to see us the way we are, but people don't have our eyes. Am I on the right track here?
You're right on with that. And what I, you know, really encourage people to do, because there's a bigger world that we're living in. Now, we're not of the world, but we have to live in this world. Yes. And we have to understand the world that we're living in. And so what I encourage parents, especially, and to help their kids understand, is there's behaviors that we all have or do that gives people a certain insight into who they think we are. Understand that about yourself. And there's no judgment. There's no good or bad. There's no right or wrong. But if you have a clear understanding, then at least you know how to operate in this world that we're living in a little better.
And I like the fact that when we say be yourself, what you're really saying, and it brings it very clearly out in this book, is be Christ-like. In other words, use him as the model for parenting, for being a human being, for being a husband. When we say be yourself, that means be like Jesus.
You're absolutely right. I had a great experience. I shared this real quick yesterday, and I was having a so-so day. I had some, you know, ups and downs. It was, you know, just one of those typical days. And
sure.
I go into Starbucks, and I say hello to, because I say hello to everybody. My wife says, you just talk to everybody. But this woman and her, I assume her boyfriend or husband, were sitting there. And I go, hey, how's it going, guys? And the lady turns to me, and she goes, blessed. Mm. And that just lit my day up. I just wanted to go over there and give this lady a hug, because that reminded me in that moment that everything I do is about being like Christ. And I was so glad that I said hello, but I was even happier about her response.
We would be very surprised to know the wonderful things God has waiting for us, hidden from us, if we just would take the time and say, hey, how you doing, right?
Absolutely. And because that's the spirit God, he's given us. He's given us this spirit of power and love and a sound mind, and we just got to trust it and go with it. And that's kind of how I try to operate every day.
Amen. LaShawn, we just have a minute left in the program. Would you do us the favor, please, of praying for our parents right now who are listening to this program, who may be struggling with their offspring and they need some help? Of course, they'll want your book, The Seven Principles of Faith-Based Parenting. But let's start out with some prayer. Could you help us on that right now?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for asking. Our Heavenly Father, we are just thankful for this opportunity to be parents and to have this discussion about the power of your word in helping us raise our kids. And God, we just ask that you would help parents understand the power of faith in raising their kids, and help parents understand how they were parented so that they could be better parents for their kids. And we just pray that you will show parents and kids the power of you and the power of your words, and that all things are possible through you, that our dreams and our goals can come true by trusting in you and relying on your word, God. We're just thankful for all of this, and we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. LaShawn Wells Jr. is the author of The Seven Principles of Faith-Based Parenting. You can just Google that, or you can go to Amazon Books and find a copy for yourself if you're a parent. Highly recommended, The Seven Principles of Faith-Based Parenting. LaShawn, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your words of wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you. May God be with you. Thanks a lot.
All right. And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with LaShawn Wells Jr., inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.